Well, this is coming on, and I'm getting ready for to show you some things on the screen. Let me tell you this. You know, when it comes time for me to do a lesson on Sunday morning, you know, I think about all the things that I've learned in the last, I guess, few days or a couple weeks. And today I'm going to be talking about something that, well, if I step on your toes, I don't have a leg to stand on, okay, when it comes to this subject matter. You know, I'm guilty. I'll say that right now. I am guilty of not doing the things that this is talking about today. So I preach this lesson for you, but I preach it more for me. Let's see if we're ready to go. There's a fictitious story based on some truth. It's a story of a man, a very, very faithful, family-oriented man who was a Jewish descent. He loved his family. He spent a lot of time talking to God. He had been forced, his family in the past had been forced out of their homeland and were living in Russia amongst people who really didn't want them there. You're wondering what I'm talking about, the man's name is Tevye. Tevye is the main character in Fiddler on the Roof. And Tevye was a man who tried to live his life and honor God in the best way that he knew how. He observed the Sabbath faithfully. He treated people with kindness. Many's the time where he'd walk down the road and he'd just stop and look up and say something to God. I remember one time from watching it, and I learned a lot of lessons from this particular show. He looked at God and said, "The rabbi who praises himself has a congregation of one." So I want to make sure I'm not praising myself or bringing you this lesson, because I want to have more than a congregation of myself. But we're going to be talking about a little bit about him in the next few minutes, because he was a man of God. You might recognize this particular poem by Emma Lazarus. It is engraved on the Statue of Liberty, and it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." I think the issue that I want to deal with today and just talk about a little bit is, how do we deal with the poor? What is our attitude toward the poor? How do we face or not face somebody who may be in a homeless situation or destitute or troubled? And I had a video that I was going to show you about with a homeless person talking about the plight of his life and how people reacted to him. But since our projector has been stolen, we're not quite sure how to get the sound to work on this one. So I'm gonna go, but I've been reading a lot on social media, and I come to find out that a lot of these things that you'll see on Facebook and things about the homeless and these social media tests where somebody dresses up as a homeless person and gets out there is basically to just get hits on Facebook. It's been contrived. It's a way to make money off the heart of other people, but the idea of what they're doing is true. How do people react when they see somebody on the street, a homeless person on the street, or somebody that's poor, that's begging, or whether it's an adult or a child or a family? How do we deal with that? And I'll tell you right now, I've not been very good about dealing with it. I've been very poor in the way that I deal with it. And it's a hard issue to deal with because, you know, we see it all over the place. We've heard stories of people who have contrived themselves into becoming poor just to take advantage of other people. And so we're suspicious of the poor because there's people who have give that social issue a bad name. You know, so therefore we just ignore all of it. But I want to look and see a little bit about what the Bible says about it today. Most Christians believe we are to help the poor, but how are we to make good judgments on who to help and who not to help? Are there Bible scriptures that tell us just how we can help the poor and what we can do to help them? That's the premise for today's lesson. In Deuteronomy, you know, it is hard to discern who to help and who not to help, but even in Israel's infancy, Deuteronomy 15:11, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. Christians are commanded to help one another under the old law here. We are also to help those who are less fortunate than we are. In Proverbs 21:13, it says, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. You know, I find myself when these advertisements come on TV and they show the poor people of another nation, Africa maybe, in destitute conditions, and they're saying if you only send so much money, that I find myself flipping the channel off. You know, I don't want to face it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to realize that there are people less worse off than I am. I don't think I would handle having money very well. Now, from an early age, I kind of knew that. I just felt that about myself. I decided I was going to go into a profession where I wouldn't have to worry about that. I became a teacher. But I don't think I would handle it very well. But at the same time, I'm not handling it very well as a person who's not so wealthy either, in dealing with people who are in that situation. When Jesus fed the thousands, he did not first check to see if they would be his disciples. He did not require them to come to him for salvation. He simply filled a need by filling empty stomachs. Feeding the poor does not define the Christian. It's a part of being a Christian. Now, when Jesus was speaking to the people and gave out loaves of fish and bread and what he had to feed those people, he wasn't doing that to get them to follow him. It was a result of being poor and hungry that they did follow him. Some people followed him for his message. Some people followed him for his food. But that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to reach out and take care of those who were less fortunate. You know, it's a theme that we read all the way through the scriptures that we sometimes just skip over. And I wanted to bring it to light today. Christians are commanded to help one another, but we are also called to help those who are less fortunate than we are. 1 John 3:17 states, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? That's strong. That's a very strong, powerful statement. You know, if we see somebody who's in need and have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in us? I hadn't thought of it that way. I hadn't really read that scripture. I guess I just thumbed past it when I was reading through the Bible because that is a strong statement. Unfortunately, I find that I have more often than not been more like the priest and the rabbi than the role of the Good Samaritan, more pitiful than piteous. You know, that's me. That's who I've been. That's who I see myself as. I feel that if I had been walking down that road in that story, You know, we did that story at our mission trip. And again, that's one of the things that got me thinking about. Would I have been the rabbi or the priest that passed by on either side, not wanting to get involved, not wanting to help out, not wanting to commit myself to something that may cost me in the long run, whether it be physical harm from robbers that might jump out and attack me, or whether it be financially because I have taken responsibility for somebody that doesn't have as much as that I have. And it got me thinking, what would I be? I don't think I've been the Samaritan. I don't think I have been. I think that maybe I've been more like the priest and the rabbi. And I want to point that out to myself. Job 29:12. I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist them. And I said, no wonder God favored Job and called him blameless. Job was a man we know that was extremely wealthy, but he didn't take the attitude of most wealthy people and use that wealth just to satisfy himself. He used his wealth to help those that were poor, those that were fatherless, those that were hurting. Proverbs 29:7. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Where is my righteousness? Where is our righteousness? That we don't care for those in need, that we turn a blind eye to those that are less fortunate. Tevye said, it's no sin to be poor, but it's no blessing either. Okay. No, people are poor not because they've sinned, but they're needy. And we have found, and I know through the REACH program, we have found that a lot of people who are needy, are willing to look for answers, are willing to get help. They don't want to be in that condition. They don't want to be poor. They don't want to be homeless. For some is a condition of life. Either they're born into it, they've made bad choices, and the result has been that they've lost maybe their wealth, their money, they've been forced into poverty. Or the lack of education, they just don't know how to get out of a poor condition. Circumstances has dealt them what we would consider a tough hand. And so they don't know how, they're drowning, and they don't know how to get to the surface to overcome the situation that they're in. Many families I know that Davey and deals with are in this situation. They don't know how to get out of poor. They don't know how to get out of struggles. They don't know how to wisely use their money. They would love to get out of it, but it's become a habit based upon their family and their family before them and the family before them. My father came from a very poor family. My father's family struggled just to have food on the table. And he would tell me about it, And he said, I was determined that I was not going to raise my family in that kind of situation. And so he went into the military. He came home and worked in the automobile factory for all of his life until they forced him out anyway. But he continued to work all the days of his life because he was determined not that his family would not know the destitute and the poorness that he had, and that we would not be forced to live the life and get involved in things that sometimes you're forced to do when you're poor, that contribute to bad choices. Jesus gave a startling wake-up call to all who would profess their belief in him. When Jesus comes to the earth and judges between the sheep and the goats, he says, in Matthew, and he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? And he replied, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the one of the least among you, you did not do for me. You know, we need to open our eyes. I know I need to open my eyes to the plight of the poor, to the plight of the homeless, to the needs of our society. Not because I think it will cause them to become a Christian. I hope that by my kindness, by the help that I'm able to give them, that they will want to know why I help them. A lot of times they'll ask, now, why are you helping me? What brings you to help someone like me? They have no self-esteem. They're lowly. And that would be my opportunity to tell them about Christ. To tell them, well, the Lord did that for me. Sodom sinned the sin of not helping the poor as they were, as it says in Ezekiel, arrogant, overfed, unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. Are we arrogant when it comes to the plight of others? Are we overfed? I know I am. Are we overfed? Are we unconcerned? Is there not a concern for those that we see in need? No, not just, oh, I feel sorry for that person, but a true concern that leads to action. Because that's what it says Sodom was known for. And we all know the fate of Sodom. Does this describe me? Is this who I am? It has been said, if he is not the Lord of all, he's not the Lord at all. If he's not the Lord of all, he's not the Lord of all. We have to stop looking at people as being poor. We need to start looking at people as being creations of God. When we look through those glasses and we see people as not in a condition, but as a creation of our Savior and our Lord, if we truly believe in our Savior and Lord, we will see them with new eyes. I hope and I pray that when I see the needy and the poor, that I will look at them as the creation of God, that this is God's person. God made this person just like he made me. What would God want me to do on behalf of this person? I know there are people in here that are great at this. I've seen it. That recognize people in need and reach out and strive to do everything that they can to with no concern of their own needs to help people. And I'm sure there are people like me. People like me who have turned a blind eye. People like me that when I drive down the road and I see come up to the corner and somebody's standing there, that I look every direction I can but at them. It's a hard thing to stand up here and admit sin. But I'm wrong. This is not who I should be. This is not who we should be. We need to be those who love God, who see one another as creations of God, and want the same thing that we want for ourselves. You see, we're kind of homeless too, because our home awaits us. We have a place that's waiting for us, and while we're in this world, we're homeless. You know, we desire for that home. We long for that home. We do everything that we can within our power to try to make it to that home. And it's a big one. There's room for everybody. We just need to go out and heal the world one person at a time. We need to reach out and take them under our wing and say, I care about you. You're a creation of God. I know Jimmy does that with the prison ministry. You know, he goes out and he teaches and he helps. He talks individually, one-on-one with these guys and counsels them. And he's bringing hope to people who didn't feel like they had hope. I know a lot of you do that. I have it. I need to do that. I'm going to ask Davey if he'll come up and lead us in a prayer. That I'll be stronger doing this, and that we as a church will open our eyes and recognize more in our community that we can do to help people in this condition. Davey, would you lead that prayer for us, please? And then after that, we'll have a closing song.